Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
As I was thinking about this, you may not know this about me, but I am an extremely impatient person. Just confessing my sins before you. Growing up as a kid, I can think back. I mean, I turned like into a P.I. when it came time for Christmas because I was going to find my Christmas presents and I was going to find out what kind of stuff I was getting for Christmas. I couldn't stand it. I'm not one that really likes surprises. It doesn't matter. I mean, TV shows or movies, I don't worry about spoiler alerts. I want the spoiler alert because I will Google the show and find out what happens at the end before I even go watch it. I do that with a series. Like if I'm getting a new series on Netflix or whatever, I will Google the last season and read through every episode to see how it ends before I start watching it. I know. And of course, traffic. Traffic. Odessa, Permian Basin. If you've ever been in the car with me, you've heard me give gentle advice to my surrounding drivers. It's the pedal on your right. Thank you for not using your turn signal. I mean, when I turn on my turn signal, it's not permission. It's telling you what I'm going to do. Sitting at a light and it turns green, the lights don't get no greener in Texas. I don't know where that originated from, but it's one of my favorites. But so if you've ever seen me patient, I'm going to tell you saw a miracle of God's grace in action. I mean, you really, really did. We bought Shaylee's graduation present, and we got it in the mail. And, man, I'd have given it to her right that moment. And Angela's like, no. But see, Angela's wired just the opposite of me because she would have waited until Shaylee was driving to college and say, oh, by the way, we have a present for you. That's what she would have done. But I'm like, let's give it to her right now. She's like, no, we need to wrap it. And, you know, so, I kind of contend with this. But patience, I believe, is so important, one of the fruit of the Spirit. As we look at it in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And we see it listed right there, patience. Some of your Bibles may say forbearance or long suffering. There we go. We're going to talk about those in just a minute. But I mean, we're going to talk about what the different meanings of those are. But let's also look at Psalm 37:7, and it says this: "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently." I mean, it'd be one thing if it just said wait, or if it said patiently, or just be patient. But what does it say? It says both of them: wait patiently. Wait patiently. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers and his way over the man who carries out evil devices. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and I urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. And Galatians 6:9 says this, you may be familiar with the verse, it says, and do not grow weary by doing well, for in due season you will reap a harvest. I just want to remind you about the importance of having the fruit of the Spirit in our life, and really the root of the matter, so to speak, of how we have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. It happens through one way and one way only, and that is for us to remain in Him. The only way the fruit of the Spirit takes place in our life is a very close, intimate, growing, maturing relationship with the Lord. I mean, John 15 tells us if we abide in Him, we will what? we will bear much fruit. It happens by remaining in Him. And so whenever we talk about any of these, I don't ever want us to miss that or forget that. That it's not just, I mean, we can pray for it. That's good. That's okay. We can, you know, ask God to work in us, and He will, and we need to do that. But I want to tell you, it's going to happen with intimacy with God and the Holy Spirit having His way in our life. And so, let's understand what patience really means. This word patience, it's really made up of two words. And the meaning of it is under abide. That's the literal meaning of patience, under abide. Well, what is under abide? What is that talking about? It's saying is that you're under some circumstances that there's no way out and you're able to abide there. Think about that for a second. I mean, when it comes to patience, that's really what it means. It's simply going through a difficulty without anxiety or going through an enduring attack with a calm, having a peace about you. Then when it comes down to it, that's what patience is. Remain under, abide under the difficult circumstances when it's not possible to escape. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe with all of my heart that God brings to escape with so many things in our life. Aren't you grateful for that? It doesn't mean that everything difficult we go through that God will never deliver or redeem or work something out. He does so, and probably more times than what we ever realize. But there are times when it seems like we have to abide under that weight and that circumstance. And when that happens, there is a reason and a purpose for it. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But maybe your Bible, your translation may say forbearance. All these words can be used together. Long-suffering, forbearance, patience. What does forbearance mean? Forbearance literally means to abstain or to hold back. The literal meaning, what it's talking about is that, especially when it comes to real estate, you owe a debt, but they forbear the payment for it. What that means is somebody owes you money, but you are patient, you forbear, you wait on the payment. You're not like, pay me now. Does that make sense? So forbearance. A debt is owed, but you are not required to make payment. It reminded me of a verse in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 1, and it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the spirit and the bond of peace. We're going to talk about people trying our patience in just a moment. But I'm going to tell you that in relationship, as we live life together, somebody is going to hurt our feelings. Somebody is going to offend us. Somebody is going to maybe hurt us or break our heart. And we need to have patience with one another. We love one another with a unity that can only be found in the Holy Spirit. What that means is, I'll overlook where you fall short if you'll overlook where I fall short. We have a forbearance for one another. Then there's long-suffering. It's another compound word. And the literal meaning means long fuse. I mean, think about that. Has anybody heard the term of short fuse? Hopefully you have not had that said about you. Kind of like me when I'm driving in traffic. But anyway, so long-suffering is having a long fuse. So what that means is stuff is getting on your nerves and getting on your nerves, and the circumstances are building and building and building, but you don't fly off the handle. What do? You have patience. You have patience. I mean, I grew up hearing maybe if it was said of a better way, I don't remember, but you know that if you ever pray for patience, watch out, because you're surely going to get it, you know? Long-suffering. I want to look at a couple of scriptures when it comes to long-suffering, too. Look, this is what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up, what? Fights, strife. But he who is slow to anger quiets contention. I mean, which would you rather? Would you rather be known as the impatient person that causes the offense and the strife? Or would you rather be known as the patient person who quiets down the situation? Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. What a proverb. Patience, forbearance, long-suffering. Here is the key. And I know that I'm probably going to rush at the end of this. So I want to say this right now. When you get impatient about people or circumstances or the things going on around you, you are not being impatient with the person or the circumstance. You are being impatient with God. You're not being impatient with the circumstance or people. You're being impatient with God. You see, you're being impatient with God. You have to understand something. God either causes things to happen or allows it to happen. There's a term that I grew up with. It's called Father filtered. And I want to remind you of what our scripture said in Psalm 37. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for who? For him. We wait patiently for God. Because God, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. So many times we walk in these circumstances and we have this view that the circumstances are above God's control, or the enemy has thwarted God in some way. And you've got to remember, absolutely not. How do we know that? Because God is still sovereign, and God sovereignly reigns. And when him sovereignly reigns, what that means is he doesn't have a board. He doesn't have to take a vote. God simply reigns, and he reigns over everything. Now, to put that into perspective, we got to remind ourselves that nothing awful, nothing negative comes from God. But we know that there's bad things that happen, right? We know that there's negative things that happen. I mean, what's the saying that we have? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the scripture tells us that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Those circumstances fall on all of us. But we have the perspective that we can wait on God, because if God is sovereign, that means even though the enemy may have had a little bit of his way here, or somebody had a free will of choice and this happened over here, that God makes all things work together for good for those that love him. So what does that mean? That means, yeah, there may be sometimes it seems like the enemy's winning. It maybe seems like sometime that evil men are having their way, but God's got a bigger plan, and God is in complete control, and there will be a moment, a time, and a day where he brings complete restoration. We wait patiently on him. That's why the battle belongs to the Lord. Oh, I hope you're hearing me this morning, church. God is sovereign. He is complete and independent in his reign. But that brings up this question about why does these other things happen? Well, you know what? We have Adam and Eve to thank for that. You know, I don't know, but I think there's going to be a little bit of a line to meet Adam and Eve in heaven. What were y'all thinking? We also, because Adam and Eve and sin entered the world, we have this whole battle of free choice, and that's why other people's free choice impact us at times. He gives us a choice. Why does Satan go about roaring like a roar? Y'all didn't hear I didn't say this last week in the morning, but the second service got a different sermon. And I talked about how the devil may walk around, you know, goes about like a roaring lion, but we have the lion and the lion in the tribe of Judah. He may be going around like a roaring lion, and the Lord allows those things happen at some time because God's got a bigger plan. Listen to me. I don't know if you heard this week, but Robbie Zacharias, he passed away this week, and it really took me by surprise. So much admiration, respect. I think one of our generation's greatest apologeticists and a great man of God. And he said this: You will never lighten any load until you feel the pressure in your own soul. When we go through these circumstances, it is a growth that happens and takes place in us. So I want to remind you this morning that God never wastes a hurt, that God never wastes a battle, that God never wastes a struggle, that God will never waste a storm, that God will never waste a set of circumstances. Why? Because he will make all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. He is going to bring about a restoration in your life. We just have to wait patiently for him to bring it about. Not us work on our own behalf. He will work all things together for good. Nothing of all the terrible things that happen is out of God's control, because God is the God of redemption and restoration. As I think about this, I was reminded of course, Job. I don't have time to get into the verses, but what I want to zero in on is at the end of Job, in Job chapter 42. But maybe you remember about Job, but I'll kind of remind you things about Job. Job is a wealthy man. He's a very wealthy man. He has extensive flocks. The Bible says actually in Job 1:1 that he's blameless and upright, and he's careful to avoid doing evil. I mean, this is a righteous man. One day, Satan, the adversary, he comes before God and he boasts tells God that, you know what, it's because you've got things too good for him. Let me take care of that, some of that stuff. And so in the course of one day, Job receives four messages. And in those messages, he finds out that he's lost all of his livestock, all of his servants, all of his 10 children, and to marauders and natural disasters. He loses absolutely everything. And then Satan goes to God again. He goes to God again, and God grants him a chance to test Job again. And this time, Job is afflicted with horrible boils. And then his wife comes to tell him, give him the encouragement, Job, just curse God. Just be done with it. And then he has these three friends that come to him and say, Job, all this is happening to you because you've got sin somewhere inside you. And that brings us to Job 42, verses 9 and 10. And it talks about these three friends, Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar. And they say this, went and did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted. Job had prayed for them. You can read it in the verses prior. But it says, the Lord accepted Job's prayer, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job. And when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Restoration. After Job suffered all of this, Job prayed for his friends, and the Bible says that God accepted Job. And let me give you the image of what that accepted mean. When we see here in the Hebrew where God is saying, where the writer is saying that God accepted, what it means is it gives us the mental picture of God going down and getting Job by the downcast chin and lifting up his chin so he could look at him eye to eye. God heard Job's prayer and restored. I mean, I think about that, and it's just amazing to me. So why? Let me tell you two things really quickly. One is this: problems that try your patience are meant to develop you, are meant to cause growth into your life. I know, maybe, I don't know if you're sick of hearing it or not, but I know I've said it over and over and over and over, that during this whole COVID-19 thing, I believe one of the things that God is working together for good, no matter what it's done, to economically or anything like that, one of the things that God is doing is getting our attention back to him. I really believe that. And I look at the good that I see of families coming back together, families eating together again and not going out to eat and just sitting there on their phones, of taking walks together, of how it's impacted. I think God is, this season, God, one of the things that God is working for good. I also believe that the remnant of the church that God is preparing for revival, I think that is yet to be seen in the future, but I think that's what's kind of coming our way, that God is molding us and shaping us and preparing our hearts. But listen to me, problems are meant to develop you. I want to read a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Follow along with me. I think it'll be on the screen. If you want to turn your phone, that's fine. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And over this, it was kind of amazing to me, over the last 6 months of different times, I've reverted to a verse here and there of this passage. But as I look at it kind of more in a complete passage, it just really, I just said in all, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that the proper time, right? We're waiting patiently for Him. At the proper time, He may exalt you. But what must happen? We've got to humble ourselves, casting all of your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Look, verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who may devour. Verse 9 says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We're all facing this, aren't we? Verse 10, listen, and after, I wish it said there, you might suffer for a little while. But you know, it doesn't say that right there. It says, after you suffer for a little while, the God of all grace. Can I remind you what grace right there means? What grace right there means is God's ability. So think about this. After you suffered a little while, the God with all of His ability has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, and Himself will what? Restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That is growth. That is growth. If that's happening in our life, that there's a confirmation happening in our life from God, a strengthening, an establishing that only can come from God, that restoration that can only come from God, we are walking in growth. To Him be the dominion forever. Grace is all about God's ability. Listen very carefully, every opportunity is an opportunity to trust God. Every opportunity is an opportunity to trust God. Number two is this: people will test your patience. Do you remember the quote from Will Rogers? Will Rogers says he never met a person he didn't like. You may know that quote. I'm thinking Will Rogers didn't get out much. He didn't meet very many people. But listen to me. I just want to go to the scripture. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 9. The first words right there: be patient. Therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Look at what it compares it to. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. Oh, I wish I had time to go into that. There's the two rain season in Israel. But anyway, verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another. Brother, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. When this writing, James, he's saying something very simply. He's saying the return of the Lord is going to be quick. The return of the Lord is going to be soon. Now think about that for a moment. If James felt that way 2,000 years ago, how much closer are we? But what he's saying is this: you better have right relationship one another, knowing the coming of the Lord is coming soon. And so I know, I get it. Angela has a saying, and her saying is this: everyone is annoying sometimes. You never say, oh, that person just annoys me. Well, you know what? I'm sure there's plenty that are saying that same thing about you. Do you hear me? I know it's hard to look in the mirror sometimes, but... And I know I've said this over and over and over. I've even said it in the same series, and I'm gonna say it again. And I want everyone to look at me just very, very quickly. I want you to hear the heart of your pastor. I'm going to repeat something again that I have said over and over and over. At least I know four times in the last few weeks. And I'm going to say it again. And the reason I'm going to say it again is because I feel like in some hearts, I don't know specific hearts, it's just by prayer, just by praying, a sense that I get, I believe from the Holy Spirit, that it's not being caught. Does that make sense? And so you know what? Charles Spurgeon preached the same sermon seven times, and they asked him why he did that. He's like, I'm going to preach it till they get it. Amen? So that's what's about to happen. Scripture tells us, outdo one another in showing honor. Romans 12:10. Live in harmony with one another, Romans 12:16. Admonish one another, Romans 15:14. Be servants of one another, Galatians 5:13. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. Comfort one another, 1 Thessalonians 5. It says in the same verse, build one another up. It says in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 5, be at peace with one another. And what do you know, when we get to verse 14, it talks about being patient with one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another, Ephesians 4:32. Forgive one another, Colossians 3:13. Pray for one another, James 5:16. Meet one another in humility. When you follow the process, your harvest will be a whole lot greater. When we're reading this verse in James chapter 5, it's comparing it to that of a farmer. And a farmer has to be patient, right? He prepares the ground. He plants the seed. He fertilizes. He waters. He takes care of that field. And we have to do the same thing with one another in our relationships. Why? Because the Lord's coming soon. Because the Lord's coming soon. I want to read one last verse and then I have to close. James chapter 1 and verse 4. It says this, talking about our patience towards one another. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That is maturity. That is growth. But when I read this verse, especially when I read that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, I wanted to draw your attention to it quickly again. Remember, because problems, they're helped to make us grow and mature. That's the circumstances, but also we have to contend with people. But look at what 5:14 says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be what? Patient with them all. I want to tell you this morning, if you're facing some kind of circumstance, I think it was Robert Schuller that said this. I'm not 100%, but I think that it was. It's not original to me, but I want to share something with you. Matter of fact, if you would stand this morning, I want you to listen to these words very carefully. Don't try to rush God. Mountains don't move overnight. Give God time to work miracles. I've seen God dissolve resentments, resolve frustrations, fill lonely hearts with new love, and wash hurts like a new wave. Washes away scars as on the sand, scratched by children's sticks. God can get you out of a rut onto a new road and over the mountain that seemed impassable if you will be patient. I've seen God turn juvenile delinquents into great men, criminals into good citizens, and alcoholics into church leaders. You know, I just really thought that was an apt quote to kind of wrap things up, is that, you know, there's that song we used to sing as kids, you know, that says, you know, that God's still working on me. You know, and I realized, you know, the stage of my life, that God is still working on me. I'm not pointing a finger at you. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. And I know I don't get it right all the time, and my impatience may shine through, or frustration or annoyance or whatever it may be. But I know that when I realize that about me, I can have a whole lot more grace towards you.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.